Well, it's nice to be back in Paisley once again at Bethnia Hall and to share with you in your Sunday evening service. I was thinking while we were singing of the first time I came here, and it's a long while ago. In fact, it's it frightens me when I think how long ago it was. It must be 40 odd years, just above 40 odd years. I was working at that time up in Seba Geigie in Hawkhead Road, and I had a friend who moved here, a fellow called David Winning. I don't suppose anyone will remember him because he left to go down south many, many years ago. And he brought me, he was trying to encourage me to come and share his house with him in Paisley. I might have been a Paisley buddy. And he brought me along here to the meeting. That was the first time I was here. I was thinking all of that. I'm at that age now where I tend to think back and try to, and I remember things, you see. Anyway, the subject I've been given tonight is the Bible, its reading, study, and the application of that. It's quite an unusual subject, but it's an interesting one, because we often hear, as we're talking to Malcolm earlier on, we often hear people saying, oh, you should study your Bible. But very rarely does anyone actually think about how should we study the Bible. Are there ways of doing that makes it easier and enables us to get more out of our study? So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Should that move on for now? Don't know what's happened. That's it. Point it at the thing at the bottom. Right, okay. Let's see what the scripture actually says about itself. I've probably now pressed it two or three times. It'll go further ahead, but never mind. Let's see what the scripture, the Bible, says about the Bible. What does the Bible say about the Bible? Well, first of all, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3 and in verse 16, we read this: all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I've put my own translation onto that. This is the Jim Campbell translation. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for learning and for ensuring that you are right with God and trained to do the right things in the right way. And so the Bible is a guide for us. The Bible corrects us. Sometimes it challenges us. Sometimes it directs us in the way to go. And it equips us for living the Christian life. When we look at the Psalms, we find there that the psalmist says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I suppose the thought there is of someone out at night, perhaps walking in a moonless night and in an unlit area, and they see ahead a light in a house or something, and that's where they're heading. So they see a light and they say, that's my objective. That's where I'm going. I'm walking towards the light. But of course, it's still dark around about them, and they have a torch that they can point down to their feet in case they trip up on a tree stump or fall into a hole or something like that. And that's the thought that's here in these words. That's what the psalmist is saying. Your word is a light that directs me to where I'm going, and it shows me how to walk. But when we look in Psalm 119 and verse 103, we find there the psalmist saying, how sweet are your words to my taste. So reading the scriptures for the psalmist was a sweetness. It was something that he enjoyed doing. It was something that he liked and made him feel good, made him feel relaxed, made him feel at ease, as well as challenging him. It also was something that was good to him. And then when we turn to James, we find that James says, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. So it's not just about hearing or enjoying the word, but we are expected to take some action on what the word of God is instructing us to do. So we find from the scripture that the Bible is inspired by God. It is God's word. We find that it challenges us. We find it directs us. We find it gives us light in darkness. We find it's encouraging. It's an enjoyable thing to do, to read the Word of God for a Christian. And also, it prompts us to action and to do things. Now, what does the Bible mean to us? What does the Bible mean to the Christian? Well, first of all, it's the Word of God. But it's a very relevant Word of God. It's something that's very applicable in our day and in our time. Although this book was written many thousands of years ago, written by many people covering hundreds of years, there's an amazing continuity in it, and it's amazingly relevant for today. And as we read it, we read the lives of men and women of God, and we read especially of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at what happened to these people, we recognise that they are in many ways just like us. They're very similar to us. They had the same hopes, fears, aspirations, the same problems and difficulties, the same worries that we have to do today. So when we look at the Bible, we find that it is a very relevant book and it's bang up to date. And I think it's important to remember that, especially for a young person. You look at this book and you think, well, it's an old book. Does it really matter today? And of course it does, because it's bang up to date. And God speaks to us today through His Word just as much as He did to the people all these thousands of years ago. And then, of course, it gives us the truth about God. God reveals Himself in His Word. He tells us about His nature and about His character. And it's there we recognise that God is love, and we see just how much He loves us and He cares for us. And we read of His great plan of salvation that was formed in times past. And then, of course, it gives us the facts of the gospel message. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the Bible, we read about His life, we read about what He did, His words, what He said. And honest men wrote that down, and as accurately as they could, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that what we have is an accurate account of what Jesus Christ actually said and what He did. And we'll have it confirmed for us in several Gospels. And so the Bible reveals what we should believe. That's quite important to remember. We live in a day when people want to kind of pick and choose in their religion. I'll accept that part. I won't accept this part because it doesn't really appeal to me. And people want to add to things or take away from things. But when we look at what we should believe, we have to turn to the Word of God. We have to turn and look at what the Word of God is actually saying. And we believe that. Now, the Pope's been visiting this country just in the last few days, and he's been talking about the dictatorship of relativism, as he calls it. And what he really means, cutting through all the talk, is that people just say, well, I'll make up my own rules for me today. I'll do what suits me, and I'll live my life the way that suits me, and as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, then that's all that matters. Morality is relative to the situation in which I find myself and the needs that I have as an individual. And I suppose what the Pope is actually saying, I would very much agree with. We can't do that as Christians. We have to turn to the Word of God. Of course, that particular church would say the Word of God plus edicts that are issued by the Pope himself. And I would disagree with that. What we have to do is turn to the Word of God. And it's there we read what God wants us to believe. That's the absolute truth. And it's something that we have to stick to. So it's important we read it for that reason. And then it's a guide to how we should live. And all of us face dilemmas. We face moral dilemmas. We face situations where we say, well, what should I do in this situation? And it's very often in these situations when we've read the Bible that verses pop into our head and we find that God directs us in the way we should go. But the Bible also gives us comfort and encouragement. And sometimes we just sit down and read it when we're not feeling so good, when we're feeling a bit low, perhaps when we're facing problems and difficulties. We turn to the 23rd Psalm and we read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we just enjoy the comfort and the encouragement that comes from these verses. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What encouragement verses like that are to us. And it's amazing how often in a situation where we have difficulties or problems, it's amazing how often God just speaks to us directly through His Word. It's a powerful Word, sharper than two-edged sword. So, why should we read it? Well, we read it because it's for ordinary people. I think that's important to remember. Sometimes when you look at the Bible, it can look a wee bit complicated and difficult, and yet when we look at the words in many of the Gospels, they're simple and they're straightforward. So we read the Bible because it is for ordinary people such as you and me. It's not for academics and universities. It's not, well, it's for them as well, but it's not just for them. It's not just for people studying theology. It's not just for people studying it in order to preach or to teach or whatever. No, it's for ordinary people. The Bible was intended for everybody to read and to understand and to gain from it. It helps us to build a relationship with the Lord. It's one of the means we have of communicating with the Lord. God communicates through the power of the Spirit in His Word, and through prayer we communicate with Him. And as we read and pray, we build a relationship with God. We get to know Him in a personal way. We get to know Him as a friend, as well as a Saviour and Lord. And that's important, I think, for us to do. And that relationship deepens as we go through life. And the Lord helps and strengthens us through the Scripture. I can recall going through a particularly difficult time, and I remember very clearly the strength I got from reading God's Word. Very often, as I said, He would speak to me directly through His Word, and I found great strength and comfort and solace from that. So He helps us and He strengthens us. And we find reassurance. All of us can have doubts. It's natural, in a sense, to doubt. And sometimes things come into our life and people might argue with us, and we begin to wonder and doubt. We read the Scripture and we find reassurance of our salvation and reassurance of the way we should go. And of course, we're able, the Bible, if we read it, we're then able to tell other people about the message of the Gospel. Because if we're Christians, very often people will challenge us about our belief and what we believe, and they might say, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and sometimes it's a lot of nonsense what they say the Bible says. So we're able to deal with that, or we're able to use the Scripture in order to deal with people who want to argue with us perhaps about what it actually says. So we're able to tell others. And of course, if we're going to preach or teach, then we have to read the Bible and understand it in order to do that. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, it makes us better people. As we read the Bible, we read what we should be like, and the more we read it and the more we try to apply that in our life, the more like Christ we become. I've put a wee mark against preaching and teaching, because probably it's a minority of people who actually read it for that purpose, or who study the Bible for that purpose. The majority of people just read it as a book for comfort, for solace, and in order perhaps to help them, to guide them through life and to tell other people about the message of the Gospel. When we go back to Timothy again, we find that when Timothy, when Paul was writing to young Timothy, Timothy was a young man and probably, I would think, a wee bit nervous. The Christians were being persecuted. Some of them were losing their lives, and I think Timothy might have been a little bit apprehensive. And Paul writes to him, knowing that he himself is coming to the end of his life, to encourage him. And he says at the beginning of Timothy, he says, listen, Timothy, there's some things that are really important. One is, you must be able to know and communicate the truth of the Scripture. So it's very important that you know what the Bible says. And the things that you've heard me say, Paul said, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to remember them, and I want you in turn to communicate them to men who will be able to communicate them to others. That's what we read at the beginning of Timothy. So the important thing was to maintain the truth down through the years. Paul was trying to ensure that the Gospel was maintained and it wasn't diluted or changed in any way. And John Knox, at the time of the Reformation, he put great emphasis on education. Great emphasis. He established schools for children, for young people, and he wanted them to learn the Bible, but not just the Bible. He wanted them to learn other things as well. Now, one of his reasons for doing that was he wanted to have people in churches who knew the Bible, who were well educated and who could assess what ministers and elders were doing to make sure that they adhered to the truth. That's why he wanted them to be well educated and well learned in the scriptures particularly. And so he did all of that to ensure that people could choose their minister in the Church of Scotland, could choose their elders, and could assess that elders were doing things correctly. And so Paul is really saying it's important for everybody, not just leaders of a church, but everybody in a church. It's important for them to know the truth of the scriptures. He goes on then to say to Timothy, be like a soldier. He says, I want you to be loyal and tenacious. Think about a soldier. Take that as your example. Be loyal and tenacious. He says, I want you to be like an athlete. You've got to play by the rules and you've got to train yourself properly. No athlete comes up to run the marathon like the Newcastle run today, never having run before. It's stupid to do that. You would never make it. You've got to train yourself, and it's just like that as a Christian. And he says, be like the farmer. Enjoy the rewards of the Christian life. And in all of that, you are helped by knowing the scriptures. Can you just go, is it possible to give that? That's, thank you. In all of that, we are helped by knowing the scriptures. And what I'm really saying in this, it's important not just to master the Bible, but the real purpose is for the Bible to master us. That's what it's about, so that we are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all of these things, these Christian attributes, we really need to know our Bible. I'll just move on now. There we are. Now, when you think about it, there's me. That's me before I'm a Christian. And there's a lot of influences on me. There's my personality that I've inherited to some degree from my parents and my genes. I look like them, and in some ways I act like them. So I am what I am, in part, because of what I've inherited from my parents. But then, of course, I've had an upbringing. My parents have brought me up, and they've guided me. They've acted as a role model for me, and I've learned from them. And so my upbringing has influenced who I am and what I do. And then my background, the world that I live in, the culture I live in, what people value around about me, what's important, all of that has influenced me to make me what I am. And then I've gone to school and I've been educated and I've learned a lot there. And lo, we might not think it, a lot of it rubs off on us. And we actually become and influenced by that. And then, of course, from that, I form interests, and these interests influence, again, who I am and what I am. And because of who I am, I get myself into situations and experiences, and they in turn influence who I am. And all of that sets objectives for me. All of that makes behaviours that I do, and gives gifts and aptitudes. But when we become a Christian, then what happens is we are surrounded. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And as God's Spirit dwells in us, we find ourselves surrounded by the things of Christ, particularly the Bible as we study and read it, and fellowship with other Christians. Now, in all of these things that have influenced me, my upbringing, my personality, my background, education, there are things that are good. Things that are good. And there are things that are perhaps not so good, depending on the type of background and upbringing we've had, and so on and so forth. What we find is that the things of Christ encourage the good things and inhibit the bad things in us. The influences that are on us, the good influences are encouraged as we read the Word of God, and we find that the bad influences are diminished as we read and apply the Word of God in our lives. And then, of course, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus when we become Christians. There's a new me, and so the indwelling Spirit creates new interest in us. And that leads to new experiences that we have in life, new influences coming in on us from other Christians and Christian situations. So we set new objectives of life. Our behaviours change and our aptitudes are enhanced by spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. So suddenly the Word of God is like a filter, I think. That's how I look on it. That's allowing good things to come through and enhancing them, encouraging them, And it's also something that gives us new information about ourselves, about our world, and we view it differently. So the Bible is important in changing us and making us new people with new behaviours and doing new things. I think that's it, yeah. Okay, but let's get down to the nub of the thing, studying the Bible. How then do we study the Bible? Are there any hints or tips that could help us to do so? Well, first of all, you've got to read it. That might seem obvious, but you have got to read the Bible. And as Christians, we should have a desire to read the Bible. But there has to be an element of discipline about it. It's very easy for it just to be eased out of our lives and not to do anything about it at all. So there has to be an element of discipline in reading the Bible. Some people prefer to read it first thing in the morning. Some people prefer to read it last thing at night. Some folk prefer to do both, or perhaps at another time of the day. I think whatever suits you is appropriate, but I think it's important to have a time that you set aside for it. Some folk study it very intensely, and some less intensely. I tend to study it intensely if there's something that I'm really interested in, and then perhaps I go back to less intensive study for normal activities. But it's important to have a discipline about it. Pick the time that suits you and lay aside enough time. Doesn't need to be a huge amount of time at the beginning, but lay aside enough time to study the Bible. I think it's important to do it systematically as well. I know enough as a young person studying the Bible, I tend to get the Bible and do, well, right, okay, we'll have a go at that. Oh no, I don't, wait a minute, no, I'll do that. I'll turn a few pages, I'll do something else. So I tended to be kind of scattered and really just picking and choosing all over the place. Well, fair enough if that suits you by all means, but I think it's important to study systematically. It may be you find a gospel, like the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Luke, and you work your way through it. Or it may be you use things like Scripture Union Notes, which I think are actually very good. And they take you through perhaps a theme or perhaps a part of the Bible. They give a little explanation about it, and there's a prayer at the end of it. So it's a very useful way of studying the Bible, and it can be done in 10 or 15 minutes. And you can buy these notes and other things like that in shops like Wesley Owen and so forth, or directly from the Scripture Union. So having their notes is a very good way of following through sections of the Bible bit by bit. There's also other aids that you can use that can help you to study the Bible as well. And we'll look at these perhaps in a second or two. The next thing after you've read it is to understand it. And that's where prayer comes in. I think you have to read the Bible prayerfully so that the Spirit of God will reveal to you just what's in the meaning of it. It's quite helpful sometimes to know the background to a book. Like, who wrote it? Why did they write it? Who are the readers? To whom was this letter, for example, of Paul? To whom was it addressed? What were the customs around at that time? And it can be quite helpful to know that. For example, in Revelation, we find that the writer to Revelation writes, he speaks to the church at a place called Laodicea, and he says, you think you can see, but you're blind. And he says, you're like lukewarm water, God says to them, speaking through the writer, I would spew you out of my mouth. Now, we might say, well, that's a strange thing to say. But of course, the writer, in writing that to that church, knew that it was famous for its eye salve, for curing eye diseases. So he says, you think you know all about eye diseases, you're blind. And then he says to them, the water in that town was lukewarm. It came from hot springs, and they run it down aqueducts, and it cooled a little bit, but it's still not very nice to take. It was neither cold to give you a satisfying drink or hot to use for cooking. So it was neither one nor the other. And so the writer says, you're neither hot nor cold. You're just nothing I can do with you. And he refers to the church. So he uses that example because he knew the people there would understand what he was seeing. And sometimes knowing that and these facts can help you to understand the Scripture. And there are books. The one that I got 40 years ago, I'm still using it today, is this Lion Handbook to the Bible. It's very simple to read. It gives you lots of the background to the books in the Bible, and it takes you through it very simply, giving you an explanation of what that book is actually saying. And it tells you some of the customs in the Bible at that time, and some of the verses that are a wee bit obscure, it explains what they actually mean. Now that book's still available in a more modern, up-to-date version, but I got that years ago and I found it very, very helpful as a young person studying the Bible. And then of course there are things like, the older folks, I'm teaching you to suck eggs here, but there are things like concordances. This is what my father-in-law is, again, it's quite old. And you can look up a word. Let's say you're interested in the word salvation. So you look up salvation, it gives you every reference in the Bible to salvation. So that's quite useful for finding your way around the Bible, and if you want to explore a subject. These guides are very useful and very, very helpful. Now you can get things like study Bibles. Some of them are quite complicated, like the Scofield Bible. Others are much simpler. So they're quite handy, and you can get these in Bible bookshops. But I would say whatever you do, just keep to a modern translation of the Bible, because it makes it much more easy to understand. Then it's useful as well to know the purpose. Why was the person writing this book? Why did they put emphasis on certain things? Paul writing to the church at Corinth was writing because there was a real problem in the church there. They really were in a bit of a mess and needed a lot of help. Writing to the Colossians, he's writing because there's influences that would take them away from the truth of the gospel. And when you know why the author's writing the book, it begins to make it a bit clearer what he's actually saying and why he's saying it. Now, I think it's a good thing once you've read the book, the passage of Scripture, sometimes you have to read it several times to try and get understanding of it. I think it's a good thing to summarise it, either in your mind or write down the key points. In other words, just write down, what is this actually saying to me? What is this saying to me? Just write it down in a book or something like that, because it helps to clarify in your own mind just what the key message is of that. And the sorts of questions you can ask yourself, I think, as you read through the Bible are, what facts actually emerge here? What is this telling me, this passage telling me? What is the key message? What is it really saying to me? Is there any instruction given that I am expected to follow as a Christian? Is there a challenge to me in this? Is there something that I'm not doing or doing that this passage is challenging me on? Or it may be there's nothing challenging, but is there any reassurance? Is there a reassurance, or is there an encouragement for me in this passage? Or it may be you ask the question, how can I apply this to my own life? What can I do to actually apply it? Is there a prayer point here for me? Is there something for me to pray about? Is there something to thank God for? Is there something I can just thank God for? Or perhaps at the end of it all you're saying, I don't really understand it. I need to go to someone else to help me to understand it. And if you don't, it's not a bad thing to go and get help in understanding it. So I think it's a good idea, especially for a young person, if you're studying the Bible, have a wee book and just summarise the bit you've read. What have I learned from it? Just write that down. And anything I think I should do, then write that down as well. I think that's good. Now, just very quickly, some dangers, traps, and so on. First of all, take the Bible as a whole. And it's very easy to take one bit of the Bible and focus on that without being tempered or moderated or adapted by something else you've read somewhere else. For example, the Mormon church at one time practiced polygamy, a man could have more than one wife, which they took from the Old Testament. But of course, had they read other parts of the Bible, they would have found that was condemned. So there's dangers in just taking one verse out of context and without taking the Bible as a whole or looking for other verses that perhaps study the same topic. And that's why the concordance is useful. If you read a book about salvation, it's difficult, a verse about salvation, it's difficult to understand. You can look and say, what other verses are there about salvation? And what do they actually say? And the other thing is, I think it's important to remember that it's the New Testament that really is our prime source of doctrine. The Old Testament illustrates the new, points to the new, reveals God as well, but the New Testament is the one where we really find the life of Christ and doctrine. I've heard preachers sometimes take a story from the Old Testament, read meaning into it, and then I kind of apply it in a way today as doctrine. I don't think that's the right way actually to go about it. We look at the New Testament for our doctrine, and the Old Testament should illustrate that in some way. I think in studying the Bible, it's important to be patient and persistent. Not everything becomes clear right away. And I know I've been studying the Bible for years, and there's many things that I still don't fully understand. And you're always finding something new from it. That's what's amazing. You can read the same verse dozens of times, and something new comes into the experience that you have at that time. Now, the fundamentals of the Scripture are clear. They are very clear, and people are agreed on these. Evangelical Christians are agreed on these. But there are some things that are difficult to understand, and sometimes we need to go to someone and get help, and sometimes we just have to say, well, I'm not sure about what that means. But usually it's the trivial things where we find that happening. Don't twist the meaning. Very easy, you know, to say, oh, well, I'll twist the meaning to suit me and to suit what I want to do, rather than taking the meaning as it is and as it comes to us. And I would say, keep an open mind, relatively speaking. Obviously, we believe in the Bible, believe the Word of God, but in some topics, it's worthwhile just saying, well, I'll keep an open mind on that until I find out, or look at what other opinions actually are on that topic. And there's many books you can read, of course, on subjects now in the Scripture. So I would say, finally, what we have in reading the Bible is Christian growth. You read the Bible, as we read it, we pray, and we reflect on it. We meditate on what it's saying. What's it saying to the people to whom it is written? What's it saying to me today in my life? And we come to some conclusions about that. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will reveal these to us. And from that revelation, well, sometimes we're encouraged just to go in for the Lord. Sometimes we look at what the Scripture has told us about what the Lord has done for us, and we're just thankful about it. Or sometimes we look at it and say, well, that's a real challenge for me. I'm not like that, and I should be. And so we go in into a kind of cycle of growth as we become more knowledgeable about the Scriptures. But as I said at the beginning, remember, it's not about mastering the Bible, it's about letting the Bible master you. It's a great book, it's a really interesting book, it's a book that's living, because it is the living, vital Word of God. It is important for every Christian to read it, even if they have no intention of preaching or teaching or whatever. It's still important to read it, to get to know it, because it will strengthen you, it will guide you, it will help you, and it will keep you on the right track and keep you on the right way. I hope you found that useful and helpful, hopefully it will help you as you study the Bible. But it's important, I would say, read it and find a regular time for doing that. It really matters that you do read the Bible, and God will speak to you through the Bible, and he'll honour you as you read it prayerfully. Amen. I'll just have a word of prayer. I've grown a wee bit longer than I thought tonight, but never mind. Hopefully you found it interesting. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come into your word and into your presence, and we give thanks for your word. Lord, we recognise that it is your word. It's a powerful word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we realise that through your word you challenge us to become Christians and to trust in you. You challenge us to live for you, but you also encourage us. You comfort us through your word, for you are the God of all comfort, and you comfort us in the words that you have written for us. Lord, we recognise that this is a letter that has been written from you to us. And Lord, we pray that we might read and study your word so that we know how to live, so that we are aided in a world that is opposed to you, and we are strengthened in our Christian life. We give thanks for the Bible. We give thanks for its preservation through the years, and we give thanks that we're able to read and study it freely in this country. Lord, we know that there are many people around the world tonight who have to read Bibles in secret. Some only have little parts of the Bible, don't have the whole thing. Lord, we are very fortunate to have it here in so many translations and to be able to read it with so many helps and guides as well. Lord, we pray that you'll encourage each of us, Lord, to read the scripture, but more to apply it in our lives so that it might live for you. And people might look at us and say, there's something different about these people. These people have got something that we need. These people have got something that we want. Lord, we pray that you'll just give us the joy that comes through knowing you and through reading your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now we pray for every person here. We seek your blessing on every family that's represented here. You know our needs. You know our difficulties. Lord, we just pray that you'll stand by us and help us as we begin to another week. For we ask this in your name. Amen.